Thank you so much for making time for me. I know you guys just finished wrapping up recording an album, and you had a show last night. I know a lot's going on, so thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
How y'all doing this morning? A little tired from the gig, or are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Right. Well, I'm tired.
Feel dehydrated.
Yeah. Gotta hydrate. So let's go around, and if you can just say your name and what you play, and then everyone can recognize your voice. Let's start with you.
I'm Joe. I play bass, or sometimes David De La Rosa plays bass, and then I take credit.
Yeah, I'm Jason. I play guitar, and
try. I'm Jamie, and I also play guitar.
I'm Ryan. I play drums.
I'm Nick, and I do nothing. I sing. Right. A song or two.
Yeah. A song or two here and
there. A lot of holding the mic for other people to sing.
Yeah. Ideally, that would be the entirety of my show would be
just
holding the mic out.
Sing.
Letting them sing.
Yeah. Well, you gotta have that audience engagement. Just a quick note, we can hear birds. We're recording outside. It's a beautiful day. Hopefully no one gets stung by bees, but I'm excited to be here with you guys. Let's start. I want to talk about the album, but let's actually start with your guys' concept, because it's really interesting. A wizard punk band. So how did you guys meet? How did this idea bring you together? It's pretty wild.
Well, I knew everybody separately, so it started with Jason, Nick, and I.
In a play place in Burger King. I saw him in there.
In the ball pit, like poking
in the
his
ball
head
pit.
Out?
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to take a shit in peace. And they were like, let's start a band.
Yes. They're like, give me about 5 minutes.
I didn't know anybody would go in the ball pit.
So, when was this? When did you guys get together?
Well, I invited them over, at the same time one day, and I was in a band with Jason for a while, I was in a band with Nick for a while, and I was in a band with Joe and Jamie for a while. And separately, I knew everybody separately, but they didn't know each other, so I invited Nick and Jason over one day, and we were like, well, how...
I knew Nick, but I was told to stay away from him.
That's probably true. You probably did know him.
And that, you know, that day we were kind of like, Jason and I were kind of jamming, and then Nick came in, and he was like, well, I'll pick up the bass. And so initially Nick was on bass, and that day we were like, well, how can we write music? How can we just start playing without having any music already? So we just started writing easy 3-chord songs. And that was what became our first EP, LARPing. So our songs are based on this band song. The band was called Diarrhea Planet, and the song was called Ghost with a Boner. Ghost with a Boner, Ghost with a Boner. And that was all the lyrics. That was pretty much all the lyrics.
Observant.
Drinking my beer and bitching. That was the second verse.
Nice.
Drinking my beer. And then we were like, well, we can do that. So we did it. And... why it became about wizards was just chance, but they would be like, all right, well, I'm gonna, you know, they would think of like a 3-chord song or something, and I would leave the room and I'd come up with like a one-liner to sing, and the first song we did was I Like You, and then it just became about wizards because I was always kind of nerdy, and
you had the Flabbergaster's name before.
Yeah, I'd had the idea of Flabbergasters as a joke band, as this wizard band already. I'm always thinking about weird wizard bands, wizard bands, yeah, joke bands.
He's really weird.
A lot of wizard bands, a ton of them.
He had a great time in high school.
He didn't have a lot of lunch money.
But
didn't have to wash his hair because he knew he was going to get swirling every day.
But I've always had the ideas of joke bands and stuff, and I said recently the latest one I had was a band called Leaving. It's this big band, you bring all this equipment, and everybody's like, hey, you have to see this band leaving. And you show up, and like, you just get up on stage, and you're like, hey, what's up, we're leaving. And you pack up and you leave. And everybody's Jesus like, wasn't Christ. That awesome? And everybody's like, what? But like, you have to like blow it up so that everybody's so hyped for it. But the band is just called Leaving. I bet you they would sell shirts.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
music, like online, you have a page, like music always coming soon. Like music coming soon, always, like forever. You never, but you just get all these gigs and you invite all these people to the show and like, hey, what's up? We're leaving. And like everybody's so hyped about it.
You'd save so much money on recording and
yeah,
whatnot.
You'd save a ton of money.
Yeah. That's hilarious. What was it specifically that drew you to like wizards and stuff? Do you play RPGs? Like, have you or LARP? Do you do LARPing or like?
Nope.
I have a lot of friends that do.
Fair enough.
I don't understand what like the lyrics are about. Like, to me, it doesn't really make any sense. Like, I just showed up because like they were like, oh, you come to these things, they'd give me like drink tickets and stuff. So I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, so I show up and I get these drink tickets and like it's cool. But like, I don't understand what they're singing about most of the time.
Yeah,
it's very confusing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've all kind of gotten into different stuff. I played a lot of RuneScape, so unapologetically, I played a lot of RuneScape.
Like, I'm a video game person, so, like, when I was listening to the Level 40 song, like, that's going to be my new soundtrack to get me pumped up, you know, grinding it out.
Well, the point of that song was, so on RuneScape, there was, like, at Level 40, of like there was, like, attack, skill, strength, defense, range, and mage. And, like, at level 40, like, you would hit, like, a milestone, like, you'd get some, like, cool armor or something. Like, I think, like, at level 40 attack, you'd get, like, the rune sword or something. And then, like, at, like, level 40 range, you would get, like, the cool armor, you know, like, cool range armor. Same thing with, like, everything, like, level 40 was, like, so I used to make accounts just to, like, boost them to level 40 and then, like, you know, like, go attack people. But, like, you could kind of, like, make your account like a pure, you know, like so you'd be like level 20 or something.
Nerd.
So you'd be like level 29 or something, like when you got to level 40 in one skill. But like, you know, like you would just like destroy people because you were level 40 in that one skill and people would think that
you're
just...
And that's why he's never had a girlfriend.
Yeah, and that's why I don't I don't get out much. Yeah. But that's kind of what that song was like about initially, yeah. You know, like I've never even said that before. Like I've never even told them that, but like that's what it was. I used to like make accounts, you know, like just random pure goofy accounts.
I
gotta give him a swirly room.
so that's where that song came from.
No, that's awesome. Well, why don't we take a break and listen. I didn't ask you guys beforehand, what song do you want people to listen to? What song can we drop in here? Sorry to put
why
you
not
on the
level
spot.
40
yeah
level 40. Okay, we'll do level 40. Okay.
Tropical.
So that was level 40. That's a really fun song. And you talked a little bit about where you where the song came from lyrically. Does anyone else want to talk about like writing the music? Like, walk me through your contributions, like where that came from, where that, I mean, you guys have a pretty defined like pop punk fun sound, but like where did that come from, that song in particular?
Oh, I guess, yeah, no, it was just you and like, we yeah. kind of like, you had
so
a bass
I would start
one.
On bass because I don't know any notes or music theory, so
he doesn't know
I would play
anything.
Something yeah no yeah so yeah, just, yeah
that's cold
yeah
yeah,
yeah.
I remember that.
You give me that look again.
No, but I would play something on bass that I thought sounded good, and then Jason would write something to it because Jason knows about music theory. So it couldn't be the other way around because, like, if he played something, I'd be like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So then that was the first. That's how LARPing was written. Basically, was like, I would start with a bass part, and then Jason would write something, and then we'd get lyrics. And just jam on it. So Level 40 was one of those original, yeah. LARPing.
It's basically like something you think of like preschoolers doing, like with crayons. That's how I think of our songwriting like, process. Like, you know, I mean, it's just.
Well, it's just, like, I don't know. When I listen to your songs, it's like, it's simple but immediate. You know, it's like kind of what punk should be. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I talk bad about it. It's just like.
It's fun. You know? No, I enjoy it. You know.
Sometimes it's
not hard to do, you know.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. You're not sitting there with like chord charts and shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They have that?
What is that?
Holy shit, I need that.
So you mentioned that Diarrhea Planet was kind of the inspiration for at least some of you. And did I see you guys have a chance to play with them? Is that right?
Yeah, first show. Ryan sends me these five songs, the LARPing EP. He sends me these MP3 files. He goes, hey, you and Jamie need to like learn these guitar parts because we're playing with Diarrhea Planet in like 2 weeks. I was like, what the fuck?
2 weeks? So,
I don't even think it was 2 weeks.
Yeah, it might have been less than that. It was
so
like...
I knew a guy, actually my dad knew a guy who worked at, where was it? Soundstage. And it's just like very weird. It was like last minute, like we tried to get on the show and then like didn't happen. And then they still had like an opening or like, they didn't have a local opener, so I was still like wondering about it. So I asked him about it. This guy, Mike, shout out Mike O'Brien. Yeah, that was kind of what started us as a group. Because initially Joe and Jamie weren't in the group, and then that was the reason that. Well, Jason was never around, so Nick and I recorded LARPing.
I'm
we
very
record
busy, yeah.
So Nick, Jason, and I wrote LARPing, and then Jason wasn't around to record it. Like Jason,
I didn't even know Jason at this point, and I like I saw Jason once, and we wrote like LARPing basically.
Okay.
And there was one song on there. It was the Level 40 reprise that like we couldn't replicate on guitar, so then we just left it off of LARPing. Like we wrote another song, but it wasn't on the LARPing EP that we recorded because. Like we didn't hear from Jason.
I'm spread very thin.
Yeah, and we're like,
I get a lot of
yeah.
So then when we do like, then we do the show, and like Ryan and I were gonna go anyway, and then he texts me like probably a week before. I think it was less than a week, and was like, all right, we're on. And I was like, all right, cool. Like he got the tickets. And he's like, no, like we're playing it. We're opening. And I was like, oh my God, like, I don't even know our guitar player. Like, I don't even play a show. And then, like, so we're kind of trying to get in touch with Jason, like, hey, we're playing this show at Soundstage, and like no response. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we need a guitar player. And then Ryan was like, all right, like, I know two people that play guitar. Like, we'll bring them in. So then we had one practice before the show, and that's when I met Joe and Jamie.
That's amazing.
That's the first time I ever met them.
It was like the Wednesday before.
Yeah, and like the show was like a Friday or something, wasn't it?
And then Jason showed up on Friday
at the show. Yeah.
Ryan and Nick were like, holy shit, you're here.
Yeah. We get there, and Jason's already there.
In
and
true
we were like,
wizard
what?
Way. That's how a wizard would do. They show up precisely on, you know, when they need it, you know?
It was Gandalf shit.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So it all came together? How'd that first show go?
I thought it went really well.
Yeah. I don't remember how the show went. But
no, there's footage of it. It's good.
Yeah, there were some... Well, we had a bunch of other fans that... Yeah, we had like 15 minutes total of material, maybe.
Yeah, they were like yelling at us like, you guys have got to get on stage. Yeah, they're like, you guys can't get on stage until you like settle up. And we were like, that's fine. We're not going to need a full 30 minutes.
Yeah, the woman that works there was like, you can't go on stage until you settle up with tickets.
Oh, like, that it'll cut manager,
your,
like,
yeah, like, it'll cut your set time short. And I was like, cool.
Like, that's fine with us. Yeah. So you played 15 minutes and
that's all we had.
Yeah. I think half of our set was banter.
I think the nicest person, the nicest person at soundstage is that guy that works in the guy's bathroom, like the guy that gives you, like, you the towel and stuff.
Oh,
and
no.
Soap. That guy is so cool. I love that guy.
No,
he's always trying to give me free tickets. So you want to see like, you know, kicks or something, you know, or like, kicks. Like,
yeah. All right, dude. Guy always wants a tip because I'm trying to wash my hands. I don't want to give you a tip. I want to wash my hands.
Yeah, it's a racket, those bathroom guys, for sure. Yeah.
They have those in the women's too?
Sometimes, very rarely.
Guy standing in there.
Well, no, it's always a lady. I guess they're very old fashioned about that. I don't know. But anyway, so I also saw that you played with AJJ. Was that another inspiration for you guys?
Personally, I love AJJ. Yeah. I don't know if they're a huge influence on this band sonically, but they are. Yeah. They're great. Yeah. Sean Bonnet is one of the best songwriters of our time, I think. Mm-hmm. I saw they were coming to town, and I was honestly, as much as I love AJJ, I was more stoked that Chris Farron was on the bill. And I just, like, I emailed the promoter, Adam Savage. And I just, like, emailed him. I was like, hey, man, shot in the dark. This band's, like, barely exists. Can we play this AJJ show? And he's like, I'll ask, like, their touring manager. He emailed me back, like, a week later, like, yeah, if you guys want to. Like, he seemed like he didn't really care. It seemed like no one cared if we did. So I was like, fuck yeah, we'll play with Chris Farron.
I had opened for, when it was, like, Andrew Jackson Jihad, at, like, Charm City Arts Space in another band, like, years ago. And, like, I didn't even know, still to this day, I don't even know who they are.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I just always end up all these things with, like, but they put on a good show.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
That's awesome. Oh, I meant to ask, I'm sorry, did you guys get a chance to actually, like, interact with the Diarrhea Planet folks, or was it, like,
kind of
meet them?
Ryan went up, like a little kid, like,
I was like, look.
They're like, get out of here.
I was like, we are so stoked to be on this show with you guys. Like, we made this band based on your song, Ghost with the Boner. And, like, you know, like, we were like, well, we just write, like, goofy songs about being wizards, like, based on your band. And, like, I don't remember who I spoke with, but they were like, oh, cool. Like not rude.
Yeah,
but,
like, they were like, oh wow, great.
Like, yeah, they were like patting me on the head,
like,
kind of thing.
Right,
it was like,
you know,
kind of condescending. Well, I don't know. It was just like not rude, but I was like, I would have been so stoked if somebody came up to me and was like, "Yo, your band is awesome. I started my band, and this is our first show with you guys. Like, this is blowing our minds." I'd be like, "Dude."
I'll be like, how can
come
I
on the rest of the tour with me. I don't know. I'd do something cool, you know, like,
yeah,
like, that would be so cool to me. But, like, I don't know, like, to this guy, he was like, oh, cool.
Well, at least he wasn't rude about it. There's that.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I kind of would have rather him be like, stop. Like, I think that would have been, like, funnier, you know, like.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, like, or just a better story of him just being like, oh, cool. Like, man.
So this band, because he.
All right,
why?
See ya. Like, I know, like, that would have been. Like,
that'd be my reaction if someone said that about the Flabbergasters.
Like, somebody, you know, like, oh, cool. I was like, all right, well, see you later. Like, I guess I'll just keep doing my thing and.
You'll do your thing.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm sorry that was.
So now we're trying to destroy Diarrhea
Not
Planet.
As disappointed as.
Yeah. Pretty much every interview we've done now, we talk shit on Diarrhea Planet.
Yeah. No, I mean, like,
shots
fired. They're not bad. Remember, you want to tell the guitar when they're sound checking?
Oh yeah. No, that was awesome. Cause, like, I expect a band like that where you're like, if your biggest song is Ghost with a Boner, that, like, you have this attitude of, like, we're going to set up our stuff and play music. Like, our attitude, basically. We're like, yeah, I don't care about the equipment. Like, we'll set up anywhere. Like it's almost weirder to play with monitors because we're so used to just not playing with monitors. And then, like, we get to soundstage, and they're doing their sound check, and they're getting like really nitpicky. Like the drummer's like, can I get more bass drum in my monitor? And like the sound guy's like changing all this stuff. And the sound guy was like, hey, like, it was like center stage guitar, because they have like five guitar players or whatever it is. And they're like, can you turn down your amp a little bit? And he was like, no, like, it's going to affect my tone.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Can't turn down the amp. But I was like, you're in a band called Diarrhea Planet. Like, who cares? Like, no one's going to sit out in soundstage and be like, his tone sounds a little off. Like, I don't know. It just struck me as like, why would you, why be like that?
Yeah. I see
a lot of people. You're in a band called Diarrhea Planet and you play Ghost with a Boner.
Especially like, with five guitarists where his tone
yeah, like, you're never gonna even going to hear it. Yeah.
That's like some, yeah, see what you're saying. Yeah. That's like a Jimmy Page kind of thing to do.
And like,
you guys be nice to the sound. We do our sound check. They get tired.
We do our sound check, and they were like, what do you want in your monitors? And I was like, I would like a little bit of everything. And then like, pretty much everybody had the same response.
Yeah.
We're like, I don't know, we'll run through a song, and like, if anything's like crazy out of place, I'll let you know.
If I can hear the snare drum, like, that's really that all that fucking
matters. Yeah, like, I
just say on beat.
I'm like, I don't care. Like, I got earplugs in so I can hear myself sing. Yeah. But like, other than that, doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you don't want to piss off the sound people like that. Yeah. I saw this happen one time at a show. I was on tour, and like, this sound person was like on their phone, like texting someone, and the singer of this band like called the sound person, and the sound girl just got up and walked out of the venue and just left. And I was like, damn. Well, shit. I mean, that shit can happen. Like, you gotta work as a team. You know, you're all like, you know, I mean, you don't want to, you know.
One of the shows we played, one of the bands, I remember the drummer was getting into it with the sound guy, and like he said something to him about like, oh, well, at least I know how to do my job. The drummer said that to the sound guy.
Jesus
Christ. So then the sound guy like walks on stage to like adjust one of the mics and accidentally like fucking hit the drummer in the mouth with the microphone.
Yeah, accidentally. Yeah, man, they
don't talk shit on the sound guy.
That is so gracious, because if I was a sound guy, I would have just regular punched him.
I mean, sound people
have
a lot of power.
We'd be LARPing with our fists.
lightning bolt, just fucking wailing on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's get into the new record. So you literally just finished recording, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys... Wait, hang on. Let's wait for the wind to die down. It's, like, really fucking loud right now.
I think I have a windscreen for that.
Okay, so so let's talk about the new album. You guys like literally just finished recording it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where'd you do it? When can we expect something out? And
Harbor Red, Kenny Kingsborough, same guy that made our first record. And then
shout out, he's the man.
Yeah.
He doesn't laugh though. Like he's so stoic. Like he just deadpan.
I got him to chuckle at the Cinderella joke.
Yeah, really? Nick made him laugh once. So
I felt another so accomplished because he does not laugh. Like anything that we're talking about that is objectively funny, he has doesn't even smile about it.
He doesn't seem annoyed. It's just like he's focused.
He's just like
hang
stoic.
On. What's the Cinderella joke? Can you tell it?
So I saw this video. No, I don't think it has to be content. It's not a very good joke. But, like...
Build it up.
So then why would he laugh?
he chuckled at it. I heard him through the,
Oh, he did laugh.
Yeah, he did laugh, yeah. So, like, I made some noise, like, to cough, and it reminded me of that joke. It was like, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball? And it was like... and, like, it's such a terrible joke, but, like...
Nick.
But that was the one moment while we were switching sessions because I like coughed and I was like, oh, and it reminded me of the joke.
Jesus
and that
Christ.
Was the one thing that he was like, I heard him chuckle like as he was switching sessions.
Maybe he just
like, I got him.
Maybe he just has a really sick sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah, maybe we're not playing to the crowd.
The only thing he finds funny are BJ jokes.
Yeah. There's a really specific market of jokes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the last album, which I don't have we named that. Coitus Interruptus, that came out last year. That has a really good sound. So are you guys going for the same kind of like tones, the same vibe, or is there something
same
different
studio.
To it?
Yeah.
But the
sonically it's similar. There's a lot more going on the new record. The Coitus Interruptus is a lot of like one guitar tone for like 12 straight songs. Mm-hmm. And Jamie and Jason did a lot more like guitar music on this record. But otherwise, like, overall, sonically similar.
Yeah, I think that writing it together, like, Coitus was just, like, a collection of two EPs that basically, like, Ryan and I recorded. The second one, we didn't really have as much writing input from the rest of the band.
Oh, okay.
So we weren't really, like, that well established of a band. So then, like, this album, I felt like we wrote songs as a band. So there's a lot more going on musically. So I think it already sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Nice.
Definitely better than the first one.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't hit the sophomore slump.
Yeah, that's always a risk.
Well, I was really worried about it. Especially when, you know, when we did it and we finished, I was like, man, this album is going to be a lot shorter. I don't know if it's a lot shorter. Maybe it's like 10, 15 minutes shorter than the other one. But it's still significantly shorter than I thought it would be. And I felt a little guilty about it because I was like, man, we crowdfunded for this record and it's not going to be as long as I thought it would be. I mean, it's still 14 songs and we're happy with how it came out now. But initially I was like, man, this isn't turning out to what I thought it would be.
But they're better songs.
But they're, I mean, I think, I mean, I am happy with it now because it's a step in a new direction for us, you know, whereas the first record was kind of like, you know, either me or Nick or Joe would like bring a song and we would kind of teach it to everybody. Whereas this one, was kind of more of everybody kind of writing their own part for each person's song. So, it is definitely a step for us growing, yeah, sonically, I think. Yeah. So
how did everyone making more of a contribution affect the dynamic of things? I mean, can you put a finger on that?
Way better guitar parts. Like, having two, like, really serious guitar players. Because, like, before, like, Ryan and I can both play the guitar, but, like, you know, we would just come up with chords. And, like, that's just what the first record is. And this is, like, Jamie and Jason wrote down, like, wrote real guitar parts. So there's, like, a lot of counterpoint, much, much more interesting.
And so people can expect it this summer, is that right? Is that what you're going for?
Yep, this summer. Not quite sure June or July yet. We'd also like to do a release show. Not quite sure when that's going to be yet, but that's in the works. So, summer.
Okay. Great. And so the crowdfunding thing kind of fascinated me because, you know, it's kind of a cliche to say at this point, but like the music industry is like so crazy right now that, you know, you have to kind of figure out a new way to make music. So when did you settle on the idea of crowdfunding and how's that been going? Is it something you do again?
It was good. Ryan's mom told us to do like a bake sale, which I thought was a great
idea.
It's a great idea. I thought, and I was like, and she was like,
car wash.
She was car wash.
Why don't you have a bake? Yeah, why don't you have a bake sale at your show? And I was like, a wizard band having a bake sale at a show. Yeah.
That would, like, honestly be fucking rad.
I think that it would do well, but
I don't think it would do that well because nobody has any money.
I think that it would
and
do better
all
than
our fans are broke.
I think it should do better than we expect because anytime that we do anything that we think is going to do bad, it does okay. But you know, like just thinking about it from like a, I was like that, like literally nobody does that. Like who does that? Like who does a band car wash? Like, nobody is going to do that.
I would do it as a promotional video.
I know. Oh, maybe like
that would be funny. Like not expect to actually. Like
you can't fundraise
the album.
You can't fundraise that way. Doing a band
car
wash.
That would be a funny like. That doesn't just do like sketches of like. Yeah. Oh, we're doing a bunch of crowdfunding ideas. Like just like shot me in a bikini like scrubbing.
Yeah, you'd
someone's
like
car.
That, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Depending on the car.
Inside of the car, Nick's like throwing his pants on the windshield.
Oh my god.
I mean, crowdfunding is like something we've sort of thought about like. I don't know if it was necessarily last minute, but it was like, it was kind of like a last resort kind of thing. It was like, well, I mean, at the time I didn't have a job. Jamie didn't have a job. I think that, I guess Nick, Jason, and Joe had jobs, but.
I'm poor.
But.
Nick's got his property to worry about here.
Yeah. Really? I mean,
it's a nice house.
We didn't really have the resources ourselves to. to fund the next record. So,
I mean, I have money, but like I buried all my mattress, or I have it in this like doomsday bank in West Virginia. Yeah. So it's like I'm not touching it.
He's a prepper. He's a prepper. Yeah,
you got a dragon guarding it, right?
Yeah,
keep the good thing
right in the dungeon.
So it was kind of like it was one of those things that like we didn't love the idea of doing it. We didn't necessarily want to do it, but it just turned out that like this is really the only option that, you know, if we want to make this in the timely fashion that we want to do it in, this is really the only route that we could choose. And initially we were thinking like, well, she was talking with us too. My mom was talking with us too. And
she's
we were,
a sweet lady. Real
we were like, yeah, what kind of, you know, like Jason and I and Jamie were thinking like, what kind of tiers can we do to like say thanks to like, you know, somebody donates $10, what are we going to give them? But then she was like, well, you know, you can't really do that. Like, just don't, you know, don't give anybody anything. And I was like, why? Like, that's like stealing, I felt, you know, like.
Well, I mean, the tears thing is pretty typical.
Yeah.
Of crowdfunding.
Yeah. But, you know, what we are giving them is the album. That's was the point. Mm-hmm. Was like, you know, we're giving you the finished product is the album. And it was really surprising, you know, when we put that out and we said, look, you know, we're not able to give anything right now. Because if we, you know, if somebody paid $50 for a shirt or something, we'd have to, you know, and if 10 people did that or if 20 people did that, we'd have to buy 20 shirts, you know, like, mm-hmm. and get 20 shirts printed. And like, that would be the money that they just paid, you know, like, so it wouldn't make any sense. So when we put that out there and we said, you know, look, you can't really offer anything right now. Maybe sometime in the future, you know, we'll keep, you know, all of our donations in mind, you know. But, so it was actually really surprising to me to see how much people were donating with that information still, you know, like, and I think that our average donation was around $30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was that's in, like, awesome. 35.
So that's more than, like, if you were to just buy the record.
It was way
like,
more. Yeah, it was way more. I mean, think about, you know, whenever we go to a show, if we offer somebody a CD and say, look, this is $10. Nobody's gonna buy it. Like, nobody cares. But like, if somebody, you know, like to offer somebody nothing and they give you $35 is amazing. You know, like, so that was just it just blew my mind. So, people are really supportive of us, and that was really awesome. Really evident through this crowdfunding campaign. So, we thank all the donations for that. All the donators and
was it David or DC? One of the guys from Braceface was like. Going through their own personal Tinder and like telling strangers about Flabbergasters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he was advertising our band on Tinder. Like not even his own band.
I had matched with a girl on Tinder like 4 years ago. Maybe more now. But it was a long time. And then like DC matched with her and she texted me a screenshot of their Tinder conversation and it was like Hey, have you heard of my friend's band, the Flabbergasters? Like, immediate response. And she just, like, took a screenshot of it and sent it to me and was like, is this guy in your band? And I was like, no. No, he's not.
That's awesome, though. They're spreading the word. Spreading the good word.
Yeah, that's the grassroots advertising campaign.
Those Braceface guys are fucking rad.
Yeah. So you've had... Wait. Before I move on to that. So the crowdfunding thing... I'm curious because I'm in a band and, you know, I'm always thinking about ways to make it more, like, sustainable. So is it something you would do again? And, like, what kind of things did you learn about the process? It sounds like it went well for you.
It did go well. We had a big budget. Our budget was, or our goal was $2,000. I was not expecting to get anywhere close to what we got. We got over $1,000.
Oh, wow. That's
so cool. We went over halfway. Which is way, way more than I thought that we would get. I thought we'd get, like, maybe $500.
And we like to thank everyone that donated, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, well, GoFundMe, but we used GoFundMe, and that was one of the things that you don't need to hit your mark. You can just set your goal and let it go, because they take a percentage of whatever people donate. So our goal was, like, you know, if we hit our goal, awesome, like, amazing, you know, like, because we'd be able to do everything that we need to. I mean, we still have been able to do everything, really we've gotten it to work. So, would I do it again? Maybe not in the near future. You know, it's one of those things that like,
you don't want to do every month, obviously. Yeah. You don't want to do it for another year, you know, like
panhandlers usually will hit certain spots. Yeah. They won't like stay in the same spot all the time. They're usually like,
oh, really?
Because like, once they run that area out, then they'll go to the other area. Like, yeah, so stay by the other 7-Eleven.
Next time it's Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's it. That way you won't burn anybody out.
Jason, are you sure about that though? Because there's always those fucking guys right on the North Avenue exit off 83 bothering me every fucking delivery 10 times a day.
Well, it's different guys.
It's not.
But it's a good, it was really, really good. Really, really a lot better than I was expecting. And it's, you really see like the people who really believe in the project and, or believe in like your vision. You really, the amount of money that people have donated, I think, is hilarious. I made this post one time, like one of the first posts I made was like if you think that donating to the Flabbergasters is irresponsible, then you're right. Like donating to this campaign is extremely irresponsible. However, you'll be funding this, you know, project that we all believe in and we all have this vision for. So I thought, and that's just who we are, you know, like that's just, and people know that. So to see the people who are on board with that and how seriously on board they are with it, and it's just so cool. It's so awesome. So yeah. I would recommend it if you really, you know, there's some big purchase that you're like, you know, this is really what we want to do. This is the direction we want to go in. And I would say give it a shot. Yeah. Crowdfunding is pretty nice.
Cool. And it sounds great to get that immediate like support from people. Yeah, that's cool. Switching gears a little bit, one of the things that stuck out to me when I was looking through like stuff you have online and whatnot is videos. It seems like you guys do a lot of videos. So are the visual arts like a big part of the project? Like,
yeah, that was actually one of my favorite things when we were doing the EPs was that Nick like filmed everything, and mm-hmm. he was like always using these cool filters, and like we had a lot of like short video stuff.
You deleted that thing in the bathroom, right?
he's doing his thing. He's doing a bit right now.
Yeah, Jason's no backing on his filming. Fucking set.
I didn't do any filming in the bathroom.
But yeah, no. I remember Nick was always like shooting all of the stuff we were doing when we were recording the EPs in his back at his parents' house when we were doing the first two EPs. I always thought that was cool because like Nick was always like just making little videos, putting them on Facebook. And Jamie's like a serious artist as well.
Yeah, Jamie, do you contribute to the visuals? Do you do the covers and whatnot, or?
I did the second cover to the EP.
Coolest Duelist.
It was just like a sketch of a wizard I had, and Ryan's like, "Hey, draw a wizard," and I'm like, "I already have this, so how does that work?"
Nice.
It's also the one on our business card. So.
Oh, you have business cards with it on it? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
we lucked out on that, too.
Oh, my God. Nick and I went to, what was it, Staples?
Staples.
Did you get, like, twice what you...
Yeah, well, we ordered 250 or we ordered 500.
We ordered 500 because they had a sale on 500 business cards.
Yeah, and they accidentally made 1,000.
Wow.
Which yeah. 500 so is way too many.
Yeah.
500 is way
well,
too
so
many.
We did 500 because if you did it, like, per business card, it was like they had some, like... clearance sale on printing 500 business cards. That's why I went with 500.
It was like doing 500 was the same price.
Was like the same price as doing like 250. Or it was only like a couple dollars more. So I was like, well, why not get twice the amount? Yeah. And then as I'm leaving the Staples with the 500, the woman came out and was like, "Sir, you forgot your business cards." And I was like, "I'm holding them."
She called
she
you
was
sir?
Like, and she was like, she was like,
"You're
well,
wizard band."
Yeah. No.
Have fun, kid.
She was like,
"Hey, kid."
Yeah. Hey, kid, you forgot your wizard card.
Oh, gee, thanks. No, she came out to my car, like in the parking lot, with two smaller boxes of business cards. I was like, "You forgot your business cards," and I was like, "Oh, well, these are." Like, I have the 500. It was clearly 500. It was in a big box. And she's like, "Well, do you just want these? Like, we're not going to do anything with them or throw them out." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I'll take them." So we got 1,000 business cards.
We'll have the same business card for years.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You know what that is? Wizard magic.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I just want to thank Staples for believing in us.
Staples, the real
making,
the
making real MVP. First, yeah. One of the first investments in the Flabbergasters.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Staples.
Yeah, shout out. Staples.
Jamie, do you have like visual ideas for your guys' live performance as well? Do you kind of contribute in that area, or is it more just like, you know, like 2D art? I phrase that question weird, but I think you know what I mean.
But we've kind of flirted with the idea for pretty much since the band has been around. Like, we've worn wizard costumes on stage and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of that.
Shout out to the Brothers Cosplay for making us costumes.
Very cool.
Yeah,
Nick, I think your neighbors take out the trash.
But,
what do you want me to do about that? This is a completely normal thing to do.
Just go show them your knives or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if we really have any of that. I don't know what you guys think.
As far as stage,
we try to be as energetic as possible.
Yeah, we don't have any planned stage antics or anything.
Well, that's another thing that's going to be like, what are we going to do? Like, get, like, props?
Yeah, like, I mean, you could, but do you want to do that?
Yeah, I don't think question.
We do the robes. I mean, and we did the Wade Boggs challenge that one time.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, I want to point out that.
Hold on. Before you tell the story, I'm so angry about how you started Fountain of Youth. As a, like, it's just a bass intro.
Yeah.
And before the band comes in, Joe's like playing just like a vamp. And then he stops playing to show his shirt.
Yeah.
After you already brought Chuck on stage to show off his shirt, which
Bogsy
was like the same thing.
Bogsy is more important than that song. So I think it's just, that's, you know.
You're wrong.
I want to point out, I was not the one that brought Chuck on stage.
Yeah, but
Jason opened that can of worms.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had an hour to kill. Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, no. So
64 kids.
The episode of It's Always Sunny where they're on an airplane and they're trying to do the Wade Boggs was a baseball player and he supposedly drank 60, 70, some fans say as many as 80 beers.
Okay, yeah, now I remember this episode. Yeah.
So yeah, and It's Always Sunny. They're all wearing white shirts and they tally their beers. So we're playing Mag Labs, and like my friends and I have been going to Mag Fest for like way, way longer than Flab has been playing it. We've been played Mag Fest Super twice now, and I probably went to 6 Mag Fests before that. So when we were playing Mag Labs, and I was like all of my friends were stoked. We're like, oh my god, like we're like in Mag Fest now. We're not just like buying tickets; like we're like in it. So we were like, oh, we got to celebrate. We got to do something wild. So we did the Wade Boggs challenge. We're all tallying our beers. And I showed up to our set, and Ryan was just like, are you, like, sober enough to play? I was like, dude, I'm fine. I haven't even drank. And they're like, you had 20 beers. It's written on your shirt. I'm like, oh,
wow.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the shows that was, like, you know, like, all of our MAGFest shows are, like, our big shows. You know, like, those are, like, our rehearsed shows. You know, like, Braceface House, like, we play there every other week.
It always turns into a shit show.
I mean, like, Joe Lee.
You wouldn't even know. You don't even go.
What would you know? What would you know about a Braceface show?
They have these nice catered meals there. Usually I'll go and I'll get the catered food there. And then if I forget.
Catered by Little Caesars.
They do great catering.
The catering is both hot and ready.
Is it good?
It's hot and ready.
So, like, MAGFest, like, all of the MAGFest shows are, like, our rehearsed shows, so. You know, like, whenever we have, you know, we don't have stage antics, but we used to have I used to use, like, a sampler and, like, play samples before each song.
That.
And then we
Bring
would go into, like, you know, the next song or something. And, like, completely, like, disregarded that. We just kind of, like, we had an hour and we only thought we had, like, 40 minutes or something of material. We ended up filling the whole hour
because of just garbage. We just, like,
grab the shovel and just pile it on. It's just like, it was like, yeah, it was a shit show. But, I mean, they rotate bands, so, like, I mean, we haven't been asked to play Mag Labs, but they rotate bands, so I'm, like, giving that
excuse.
They're
not having us back. I mean, let's get real.
Probably never going to talk to us again.
I could be wrong, but I thought they weren't doing labs this year.
I don't know.
I think this is the first year they're not doing labs in a while. I could be wrong about that.
I guess it's probably time to start winding it down a little bit, but before we do that, is there anything else that you want to promote or anything else you want to know, want people to know about? Like, well, I guess is the best way for people to find you to check out the Bandcamp, or?
Yeah, check out our Bandcamp, check out Flabbercasters on Bandcamp, we're on Facebook and Instagram, and,
follow them, and then you'll be the first to find out about the record coming out. Unless there's anything else, I always ask the same question to wrap things up. So, anything else? Are we good?
No, just look for the record and
summer sometime.
Yeah. Sweet. So I always finish by asking, like, what piece of advice you would have for someone that's new to music or starting out. So I guess we'll... Hang on. I guess we'll start at this. I don't know why. It's probably another one of these microphones now. We'll start with you, Nick. Like, what words of wisdom would you have for someone starting a band?
For someone starting a band?
Yeah.
Don't.
That's the first time I've heard that advice, but honestly, maybe it's...
Major League umpire, ditch digger, all very great careers rather than music.
Ditch digger.
Major League umpire.
Yeah. Graveyard shift. At a gas station, much better than playing in a band. No, I can't even really say that because I don't really work that hard to be in a band. No, being in a band is actually great. I mean, I've always been in bands, but I feel like I've found that if you treat it like work, then you're going to hate it. And this is more like fun. And I'm finally in a band where we have fun and it's not like worrying about making money and turning it into a career. Rather than just playing music and having fun. So that's kind of my advice. Besides, yeah, don't.
Have fun. either don't get out of band, or if you do have
or
fun,
have fun.
I like it.
Have fun or don't.
Start riffing baseball games.
Yeah. Do you have some thoughts, Steve?
I would just say just do it. Just start somehow. You know, whether you just buy an instrument or buy, you know, the stuff to do it, you know, get some friends and, you know, just start doing it, because you don't know what's going to happen, you know, like, you don't know where it's going to go, so
yeah. Don't overthink it, just yeah. go
also yeah. It helps to come up with a gimmick like Wizard Pop and play short sets, especially if you're a new band, because nobody gives a shit about you.
Yeah, no, that's actually great advice.
Yeah. If you're allotted a 30-minute set, like,
don't play 30 minutes of material. Yeah, make an impact and then get the fuck off stage. People will want to see more of that.
That's good advice. So, yeah, I haven't heard that one either. That's good. How about you?
I answered this before. But
yeah,
I
mean, you did.
Yeah, I'd say maybe don't answer the phone so much because, like, you know, oh, my God, like, they just keep calling. And they just keep calling. It's like, you got, you know, I mean, Jesus. Yeah.
I definitely agree with the play short sets thing. Also, like, I don't know, fucking learn music,
play with musicians who are better than you.
Always, like, seek out to get better.
Yeah, this is definitely the most talented band I've been in, so.
Yeah, and, like, you can play really simple music. Like, all of our songs are really easy. Anyone can learn them, but, like...
But we play it.
I can hear a difference between someone who is, like, playing at 100% when they're playing a three-chord song versus, like someone like Jason, who I'm, like, constantly impressed at how good he is at music generally. And then, like, he plays a three-chord riff, and it sounds better than, like, if you were playing at, like, his max.
Oh. It's the alcohol. I mean, I don't know, it's the alcohol.
Alcohol for you.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks so much, guys. I'm really looking forward to hearing the new record, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This was a lot of fun.